Now that we know how expressions are translated, let's have a look at statements and other control structures. So, in general, what we have seen in the last few slides was our way of generating code for expressions with this idea of keeping a register around where we store the intermediate result of that expression. Particularly, this is the first assumed to be the first free register from the counter I. Yeah, so this was our code function, code into register at position I. Yeah? So for statements, which are not necessarily expressions, we usually will just generate code without paying respect to any register where we store some intermediate value. So this is designated by switching to a code function code without this underscore R. However, we still need to keep book of the first free register in case that inside the statement S we want to start evaluating an expression at some point. Yeah? So since there is, for example, things like local variables, we need to keep book of the first free register in a dynamic way. Yeah? Good. So if you think back, for an expression, we then had, for example, the assignment expression. We had defined the according code generation function that way. Usually, we see assignments like this in a context like the one from there, where they appear as like an expression statement. Uh-huh. So we might wonder what we have to change in order to make this assignment expression into an expression statement. And it turns out, in principle, this is not particularly difficult to do for the assignment statement. So we can just do the regular stuff, like encoding our code generation in the same way as we do for the expression code generation. So we will do all that is necessary. The effect of the assignment will be like a side effect of the expression evaluation in here. So all that we can do is, well, just generate the code for the expression evaluation and then ignore the register with the intermediate value and thus turn the whole thing into a statement. This is a thing that not only holds for just assignment expression, but for expressions in general. So if we have any expression statement, this is a valid thing to have in C language. What we usually do is we just fork to the code generation on the actual expression and ignore the register, and this is will be considered to be a free register after this code generation anyway. So that's completely fine to do in that sense. Yeah. So and again, here the actual effect of the assignment is a side effect anyways. Yeah. So this is how the actual assignment expression is playing out. Then, apart from expression statements, what else is there? Well, there's usually also the notion of a sequence of statements that can be used for wherever a statement can be used, for example, for blocks or things like that. And well, what we can do for those is, well, if you have a sequence like singular statement and a remainder of the list of statements, what we usually will do is we will just forward to code generation for the single statement and then do code generation on the rest of the statements. And this seemed a little bit trivial. However, the important notion is that we will keep the counter for the first free variable the same as it has been like there. So for all of the statements, we start from the same level of free registers. Yeah, so that doesn't change in between. So this also means that you can't carry over intermediate results from one statement to the other in that sense, because usually we will just overwrite the registers in between. Yeah. So within expression evaluation, you can carry it over. In statement evaluation, this won't happen. Okay, so apart from just linear code that might turn these statement sequences like into a useful tool, what we rather find interesting is things where control flow deviates from the just fall through of one statement to the other. And this is where jumping in the machine plays an actual role. Yeah? So for that, we need to introduce some special purpose thing, like an instruction jump A, with A being, well, for the time being, a label, which will then in some phase of the compilation be turned into an actual address, such that it can be placed into the program counter. And this is exactly what's going to happen here. So for the machine state like that, with the stack and the program counter like this, what will happen is that the program counter will be filled with the constant address that is taken from the first operand of the jump instruction. Yeah, and semantically, what this will do is the register will be filled with whatever A evaluates to. Yeah? And that's, of course, not all, because with plain jumps, we can still only generate one potential successor to an instruction. What we are really interested in is conditional jumps. So jumps that might continue at one location or at another depending on a certain condition. And thus, let's have a look at what there is for us. So we have for that a new instruction, jump Z or jump 0, that works with two operands. So there is a condition register RI. So this is just an ordinary register turned into a condition register by the fact that it is used as the first parameter for the jump 0 instruction. So this is not a special purpose register. It can be an ordinary register from the locals or the globals. And follow-up address. Now, so let's have a look at how this jump 0 really works. So let's assume that in this register RI, we find a value that is different from 0. In that case, well, the state is exactly the same as this state. So there is nothing changed in terms of the program counter. So this remains the same. So this means that in that case, the instruction flow falls through that instruction to the follow-up instruction, which just continues as it would have continued for just a sequence of instructions. However, in case that our machine state features an actual zero in the condition register, we will have an actual effect of the jump zero instruction, in the sense that the address that is given as a second operand will be stored into the program counter, leading our interpretation loop to, after terminating the interpretation of jump 0, to jump to whatever address we have stored into the program counter, with address being an index into the code segment. Yeah. And in terms of semantics, being a software thing, this is what the line in the interpretation code should look like. Yeah, so in case that the condition register is 0, we will set the program counter to a particular value. So with that, we can now start jumping into interpretation of conditional semantics in terms of code generation, and let's have a look at that. So our pattern for code generation would be that our statement is for now this if with a condition and a statement, possibly being statement sequence, but who knows. What would we do for that? Well, we need some way of deciding whether to branch or not, and this is usually what can be done by evaluating the or generating code for the evaluation of the conditional. So this thing has to be evaluated, and that's what we're going to forward to the code generation on expressions. And yeah, this will work for itself then. And then what we also need is, of course, the code to execute when the condition is fulfilled. And condition is usually fulfilled when it's non-zero. So in that case, the jump zero would fall through, and then it's for us to place the code to execute on the then branch directly down there, and this is going to be achieved by code generation on the statement sequence. In between, we will place our new fancy operator jump zero on the register with the index that we have given to the condition evaluation. Afterwards, we won't need that anymore, so we can put the free register index the same in the code generation for the then branch. And what we also need to pay attention to is that we use the correct label here. So here in this scheme, we're going to set that to an A. Of course, this won't be the symbolic label A throughout the whole program generation, but instead this is usually supposed to be a fresh label for that for each instance where the code generation is called. And yeah, so two simple conditional translations after each other will have different labels just throughout the code part. Here the label is supposed to remain the same. Yeah, so it's the same label but fresh each time that we do an instantiation of that code generation. In terms of control flow, that's what you can see on the right hand side here. Yeah, so that's what we're going to establish. But of course this simple conditional is just one special case of the general conditional statement. Yeah, so in general, we don't simply have just an if condition and then, but also a part with an else branch. So you might wonder whether that is a lot more to do. And well, we can start off from the same things as we have had already for the simple conditional, meaning that first of all, we will have to generate code just for the evaluation of the condition and use the actual condition value in RI in order to decide whether to jump or not. And well, in a similar fashion as before, what we will go for is we will generate code for the then branch whenever the condition is true, which means that the value in RI is non-zero. Thus, we can just use the same jump instruction as we had before. However, this time what we do in the else branch is not only that we jump over the then part, but this time we also have to pay respect that there is an else branch here. So at the label A, we will see that there is an actual code generation part here where we take care of the else part of the statement. And only after that is done, the end of the of this code generation part is reached. However, what we have done before was that when we terminated with the then branch, we would directly fall through into the end of the complete statement code. This is not the case anymore because there is the else part here. So what we have to, how we take care of that is that we use another jump instruction which jumps to the actual new end of the complete statement now, which is different from label A. So we have now two labels, label A for the else part and label B for the end of the complete statement. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. And yeah, so in terms of control flow diagrams, this is what we are going for. Yeah. So with that, we can maybe already look at the first example of non-expression statement, which is now an if statement. Yeah. So let's have a look. There is the general address environment, name environment, mapping x to 4 and y to 7, and the statement to be translated is the one that we see here. This is an if statement with x larger than y, then go to x minus y, or in the other case go to y minus x. So what will be the code that yields? So let's have a look. There are several parts to the whole thing, particularly related to the whole example being for the if statement. So there's the first part that serves for the code generation for the condition evaluation. So this means that there is a part for the condition evaluation, which you see over there. This is usually focusing on the greater operator, comparator in that sense. So there's this greater instance that will work on two operands that we still have to determine. It will be x and y. X and y are both variables, so we just can look them up in the address environment. They map to 4 and 7, so we're going to have to retrieve their values from 4 and 7 and store them in the according operand registers ri and ri plus 1. So this is what's happening here. And then, since this is used in the context of the if statement, then this will be followed up by an actual jump 0 based on the target register of the comparison, and will jump to A in case of else, otherwise it will just fall through and continue with this part here. So this part labeled with 2 is the then branch in that sense. And so for the then branch, this is just a simple assignment expression in an expression statement. So there is the expression statement, which just consists in the expression code, which is foremost a assignment. So this is translating into a move here to target R4, which we get from x, which is just 4. First parameter is, maybe not focus on the first parameter, because the next one in the hierarchy would be the subtraction to generate code 4. So this is then done with subtraction. And there we then have the two operand registers ri and ri plus 1. And the destination register, target register ri, which we will then use for storing into x later on. And, well, the parameters both are again our well-known variables. So this is r4 and r7. And they just moved into the operand registers. So this is the evaluation of the expression. And then when we are done with that, we will just do a jump to the end of the statement, since after then we won't do anything else. So we go over there to label B. What then remains to do is, well, of course, there is the else part, which is jumped to from here. So this is what we're going to see here. And this is also just a assignment statement, so I won't focus too much on that. That's pretty similar to the one before. It's just that the operands are in reverse. Otherwise, it's exactly the same. And also, yeah, of course, storing is happening to the other variable. So this just turns the variables around. What you might want to pay respect to is that the else label is the one that's placed here, and the continuation label is like this B label here. And yeah, there's that. Good. So with that, we're done with the simple and the general conditional.